Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. My name is Lane Lohman, the producer and director of the program, and today we're going to do something a bit different. I don't think I've ever done this on the program. I have just a little bit left on the sermon I've been preaching throughout the month of May called Final Exam. We're going to complete that sermon today and then play a special numbering song and then get right into Dad's sermon called Be Found Faithful. And I hope it'll all be a blessing to you today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would now come and take the words of the song and the messages that are shared and bless the hearts of the people. And pray that you would continue to supply the need for the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I'm so thankful for the way you've done that across the years. I pray that you'd be with those who are sick and shut in, those who are especially dealing with a serious illness. I pray that you would touch them today. Father, I pray that you would just know how much we love you. Thank you so much for your goodness in our lives. I pray and ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, don't forget to pray for us. I'm in revival meeting in Oak Hill, West Virginia, May 21 to 24. And then have a few days off before going to Troutman, North Carolina, Beulah Heights Wesleyan Church, June the 4th. And then June 9 to 11, Princeton, Indiana, First General Baptist Church. Then our first camp meeting of the summer, June 23 to July the 2nd, Wadsworth, Ohio. So I do covet your prayers as I'm involved in these meetings. As always, we need to make mention of the fact that we are a faith-based, listener-supported program, and we need for you to help us if we can stay on your station. It'll only be because people have helped us with the expense. So thank you so much for doing that. Praying about it means so much. And I hope that you will continue to pray for the Lights of Spiritual Guidance and for Lohman Ministries. You can write to us, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lohmanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I hope you'll do that. Thanks again for joining us on this special edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, and I hope you enjoy the remaining part of Final Exam, the sermon I preached last month in West Liberty, Ohio, Church of God, and the beginning of Dad's sermon, Be Found Faithful.
Number 5. Do you practice sin? John chapter 5, verse 15. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. Could that be any plainer? Well, Lane, I just don't believe that because I sin every day in word, thought, and deed. You do? My word. What is there in your life that causes you to do something you know is wrong every day of your life? Is the blood of Jesus Christ not any more powerful than that? Did not the cross deal with the power of sin as well as the guilt of sin? Yes. Yes, it did. And when a person says, well, just fell into sin the other day, it flies in the face of all things spiritual and all things godly. Let me ask you, any of you recently said, well, the other day, I just fell into holiness? You don't fall into sin anymore than you fall into holiness. It's an act of the will. You see, you lust, You make up your mind. And it develops in your heart. And you cave in. You finally allow that temptation to come to fruition by virtue of your own will. Well, I sure love Gretchen. But I sure do enjoy dating on the sly. I love her. I love Gretchen. She's my wife. But I really enjoy going out on a Saturday night with them. You say, Lane, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ludicrous. Yes, it is. But as my wife just noted, from a spiritual standpoint, it's the same thing if you say that you love the Lord and you continue to live in sin. It's the same thing.
That's right.
It's the same thing. I'm not going to choose to go slip around and do something immoral when I'm married to Gretchen Lohman. I made up my mind about that. I'm not going to do something like that. And if I can make up my mind about that, I can make up my mind about sin in my life.
Yes. Yes. That's truth. That's truth.
Romans 6, verse 1. I already quoted it, just a little bit of it. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? When the temptation comes to sin, and it will, when it does come and the enemy says, oh, it's all right. Don't accept the greasy grace concept. Don't accept the sloppy agape concept. Well, I can just go and I can commit sin and I can go back and the grace of God will handle it. Because there are people who believe that. Don't accept that because it's not scriptural.
That's right.
So when you're tempted to sin, here's something to ask. If I do it, will it violate scripture? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life? Will it violate any aspect of scripture? If I cave in and I do this to please my flesh, to have my way, will it violate the word of God if I do it? Ask yourself this. Whenever you're tempted to sin, will it negatively affect my relationship with Jesus? After I do it, will I regret having done it? You will. You will. How could I do this? What was I thinking? What's the matter with me? Ask yourself this question. The next time you're tempted to sin, can I ask God's blessing on this while I do it? Oh, God. You see what I'm about to do. I'm going to enjoy it, and I want you to bless it. But remember this. There's pleasure in sin for a season. And God will not bless it. He'll not stop you, but he will not bless it. When you're tempted to sin, ask this question. If someone else sees me do it, will it be a hindrance to their own spiritual lives? Oh, I have a right to do what I want to do. It's not going to bother anybody else. Listen, friend, you don't live in a vacuum. And your kids are going to see. Your friends, your loved ones, your spouse, the people you work with, they're going to know that you profess to be a Christian. And you go out and you do something you know you shouldn't do. They're going to see that perhaps. And they're going to step back and say, I don't know if I want that kind of Christianity. Hey, ask yourself this question. When you're tempted to do something you shouldn't do. Would I want to be doing this when Jesus comes? Do you practice sin? He came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. How'd you do on that one? Later that day, I went by the class where I'd taken that exam, and the grades were posted. I passed, and I became a member of the graduating class at Atlanta Christian College in 1971. It was a proud day.
Yes.
You don't want to fail this exam.
That's right.
Because you're going to be held accountable for this sermon.
There it is. Yes.
You've been told.
Uh-huh.
You've been given the word.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to have to be held accountable for what you've heard. Because this was the word. It wasn't Lane Loman's ideas. It wasn't my thoughts. It wasn't something I came up with. It's the word of God.
Yes.
Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith.
looked upon my life, realized at last, within myself there's nothing I can do. Yet here I stand to offer all I am and give myself completely, Lord, to you. Take my life, a living sacrifice, knowing it's the least that I can do. Make my life a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Not be content until I reach that place. How little I have given up to you. Lord, break down my will, make my desires your own. I long to give my everything to you. Take my life, a living sacrifice, knowing it's the least that I can do. Make my life a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. Take my
of scripture that is found in Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church. And I read out of this letter in the fourth chapter and begin reading with verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment, yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. These five verses in the fourth chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church. And I lift out of this passage the text that is found in verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I want to speak to you this morning on the subject that text suggests, the simple word faithfulness. There's one word in this verse that may be somewhat misleading, and that is the word steward. Because sometimes when we read a word like that, and then we recognize that there are some people in the religious world that are identified in some religious bodies as stewards, that immediately we apply that particular word to that specified group of individuals that are identified in this realm and pass by and fail to see the real significance of truth that is wrapped up in the entirety of the word. This particular word, steward, this morning is not designated or to be applicable to just some specified group of individuals in an ecclesiastical body, but it involves every person in this congregation this morning as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that without question it is required in every one of us that men be found faithful. I recognize that as we look at this truth, that some of you reminisce down the memory lanes of your life, and from the time that you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you knew the blessing of sins forgiven, had an impartation of divine grace, was conscious of the fact that the Spirit did bear witness with your spirit that you belong to the family of God, that across these many years you've endeavored by the help and the undergirding strength given to you by the Holy Spirit to be faithful in every area of your Christian life until you come to this Sunday morning hour with a conscience that is void of offense toward God and man, insofar as your consecration to God is concerned. But dear friend, we're living in a day when this civilization that we have now is so complex that it's a mighty easy thing, if we're not careful, to somehow fail in some measure in standing true to some things that are necessary if we are to continue to have the smile of the Lord upon our soul and the blessing of God within our heart, the pressures of life, the storms that surround us, the waves that beat against us, the difficulties that we encounter, the problems, the perplexities that seem to surround us on every side, the powers of Satan. Oftentimes it seems that the prince of the power of the air will sap all the spiritual strength that we have. The things that we come face to face with would cause us to feel that it's constantly difficult for us to get our prayers through to the skies when the heavens seem black brass and the atmosphere is clouded. But today it's wonderful that in the midst of all those circumstances and conditions that we can have within the inner recesses of our soul, a determination within our heart that irrespective of what surrounds us, we've made up our mind by the help of God that we're going to be faithful right down to the end of time, to the last ebb tide of life, and have the smile of the Lord upon our soul when we get ready to leave this world to step into his presence in the glory. Oftentimes we sing that song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. And when we face these conditions that I've just mentioned, we can sing through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come, but it's grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home when we've been there 10,000 years. Bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. There's something specifically that you and I need to be found faithful to as we live in this life. We need without question to always be found faithful to the triune God. There are three distinct personalities that make up the Godhead. We cannot separate one from the other. If we believe in God the Father, we must believe in God the Son. And if we believe in God the Son, and He has become a reality within our soul, then there's a receptivity within our soul for everything that God the Holy Spirit wants to do for our heart, and we give Him first priority in our hearts and lives to lead us in any direction, in any area that He so desires, without any rebellion whatsoever. I know, beloved, that we're living in a day when we know that we're in the minority. But my friends, I'd rather be in the minority on the Lord's side with the smile of God upon my soul than to have the majority of the applause of this world to my life and have an empty heart and an aching void within my soul. When I think about the God of the skies, the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God of the universe, would ever see fit to even consider a little finite, insignificant human being such as I was, with nothing much to offer Him, that God would love me enough that He was willing to lift me out of the gutters of sin and despair and change my life and, beloved, put a goal within my soul, put my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I could know beyond any doubt that I was no longer a foreigner and a stranger and an alien to the commonwealth of Israel, but a naturalized citizen of the kingdom of God. There is no desire within my soul, beloved, in any measure, to be anything other than faithful to the God that sits on the throne in the skies, the God that set the furnace of the sun on fire and put the queen of night into her orbit and set the stars to dancing in the heavenlies and scooped out the valleys and upreared the mountains and set thus far to ocean waves shalt thou come and no further. The God that carpeted this earth with verdant green and laced it with running brooks and with flowing rivers. The God that blew His breath upon the petal of a rose and turned it to a golden yellow, a velvet pink, a crimson red, a lily white. A God that could paint the late afternoon sunset with all the golden hues of heaven's beauty and set the evening star in the western horizon to stand like a lone sentinel on guard duty, and could take a little dust and make man in the likeness of His image and breathe into man the breath of life and man become a living soul. A God, beloved, that loved us enough that He was willing to permit a little virgin to conceive and bring forth a child, and that child's name should be called Jesus. And a God that was willing for that Christ, the second personality of the Godhead, to condescend from the glory into this sin-cursed world and live among men for 33 odd years, walk the rock-crested hill of Calvary's brow, bear an unfitted crown of thorns, and drive the nails in His hands and feet, thrust a sword into His side. A God that loved us enough, and a Christ that was willing to come and give His life and die an ignominious death that you and I might live, beloved. I want you to know a God like that is going to have every area of my life faithful to His cause right down to the last moments of my life. You know, I've often thought about the second person of the Trinity. I've never seen Jesus. I never looked upon those nail-scarred hands and that thorn-scarred brow. And I wasn't there the day when He said, "I thirst," and they put the gall and the vinegar to His mouth. And I wasn't there the day that He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. And I've seen pictures of Him across the years of my Christian experience. Whether the artists have a proper conception of what He looks like, I do not know. I've seen the picture of Him, beloved, as He stands at the door knocking, when He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me." I've seen the picture of Him as He sat overlooking Jerusalem the night, beloved, after He made His triumphal entry into the city and cried, "Oh, Jerusalem, my Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you under my wing as a hen gathereth her brood, but you would not. I've seen the picture of him as he knelt in the garden of Gethsemane, sweating as it were sweat drops of blood, when he cried, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine be done. I've seen the picture painted of him as he stood with outstretched arms the morning that he said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. I've seen the picture painted of the Master when he, beloved, hung there on Calvary's cross the day that he died, that men might be redeemed. I want you to know, I repeat, that I've never seen him. I wasn't there. I don't know whether the artists have a proper conception of what he looks like or not, but I remember reading about a man that did see him one day. But John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I heard behind me the voices of a trumpet, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of God. He was clothed with a garment from his head down to his foot. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, his feet as fine brass as if they burned in a furnace. His voice was as a sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand a sharp two-edged sword. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead.
Our time has come and gone for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.